Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 18th of November, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Cahill Frail, Chief Executive Officer of Open Orphan, ORPH. And Cahill talks about the signing of a contract with Karna Bioscience, which is expected to deliver significant revenue for the company. Also on the podcast, Philip Hayden Slater, non-executive chairman of Riverfort Global Opportunities, RGO is ticker there, and Philip describes their progress in the third quarter of this year. Also, as always, I have two lists for you. Very important lists, worth keeping an eye on, I believe. And they are the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, if you've got our app and you get an RNS in the mornings or whenever you get it, free via notification, of course, free to download, and you like the contents of that RNS, hit that thumbs up button. If you want to give it a bit more publicity and share it around, do that, and of course, share it on social media. But also, by hitting that thumbs up button, it may get into that top five most liked RNSs, and so it may appear on this podcast and also on the front page of voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Cahill Frail, CEO of Open Orphan, ORPH's ticker there. Cahill, thanks for joining me.
Justin's a pleasure. Thank you for taking the call.
Now, you've announced another bit of news. You had some news last week, and it's sort of backing up what you said. You said towards the back end of this year and start of next year, they'll be quite busy. They'll get the thing working there. Before we dig into how it's all going, let's just, for people new to the company, it's just, it's still pretty new, I suppose, for most people. So explain Open Orphan, if you could, Cahill.
Yeah, Justin, look, Open Orphan basically is the genesis of the reverse takeover of an existing pharma services company called Venn Life Science PLC. And really, Open Orphan is we're providing the picks and shovels to the bigger pharma companies, i.e. services. We don't have any products, no product risk, no trials. We run the trials for them. We do preclinical work. We do a whole host of services. We're like a law firm, an accountancy firm to big pharma. But along the way, we're developing some digital platforms that will give us, one wanted to say, a bit of oomph on top of the existing services. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is the first bit. This is Open Orphan Services here, and this contract with Karna Bioscience. Take us through this, if you could, Karna.
Yeah, look, really exciting. Just Karna Bioscience is a Japanese pharmaceutical biotech company. Not a monster, but decent size. Have been working with Venn for quite a few years on the preclinical. Preclinical is when you're trying to, before you go into humans, that's called clinical, do trials. You do preclinical, that's you test a drug, it's called CMC, that's called the chemistry, the manufacturing control. So that's a kind of piece, how do you make the drug, how do you put it together? This is even before you test in humans. So Karna have been doing CMC, preclinical work, and now the great news is we've been trying to push Venn, is there's two pieces to Venn. One is the preclinical team in Breda outside Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and then the clinical team who run the trials in Paris. And now this is really exciting. We've now managed the two teams to work together, and Karna, rather than taking preclinical and disappearing, are now rolling on with us, and this is part of the recurring solid revenue. So they're now going to run the clinical trial first in human for this drug. So yeah, really excited. It's a lot of joint up thinking. And it goes to show the depth and level of understanding of people we have within Venn. Like, sometimes the market underestimates some of the fantastic people we have in both the Paris and the Breda office outside Amsterdam.
Yeah, and you said this contract is expected to deliver significant revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, any phase one trial is expensive. So we've been awarded, to trusted us with their phase one trial. And on that note, you might see in the coming weeks, Venn had a very large phase two trial as well that completed about 6 or 9 months ago. So we may be talking publicly in the next few weeks, because last week, we can't say who it is yet, but last week there was a 1.4 billion trade sale announced on Friday. And that was a trial that Venn ran on behalf of a client. We're not at liberty to say who it is, but I think if you Google $1.4 billion trade sale last Friday, you might see the level of people that Venn are working with.
Yeah. So what's it like at the moment, Kyle? You set out with a plan here, and we all know, you know, a good plan, sometimes a theoretical plan, can become very different when you actually go to put it into practice. But how is it working? I mean, you know, have you had more issues than you thought? I mean, is it going the way you thought at the moment?
Look, as you rightly say, all plans only survive till, let's say, the rubber hits the road. Mm-hmm. But yeah, luckily, we've some things have worked out exceedingly well. Some things would be a liar if you said everything worked out rosy. Some things are a little harder. But the reality is, we always felt it was a huge opportunity. We opened Orphan and Venn, and we're on target. We see we'd turn Venn around, get it profitable going into next year. That's on target. We see we'd grow the revenues and behave like a big grown-up pharma consulting house, i.e. look after the 30 companies like Karna, like Ipsen we have, rather than going to chase new customers. It takes a long time. Let's say look after the existing really great. So yeah, absolutely full steam ahead, really exciting, and we're hoping to deliver a lot of more news flow in the coming days and weeks ahead.
Yeah. And you, part of the deal with his four-pronged sort of deal already was fixing Venn, then looking for some acquisitions. How is that going?
Yeah, look, the four prongs is basically we've got Venn services and bolting onto that. And then the other two other prongs are really the two digital platforms that will give us, I would call, for want of a better word, the bit of sex and violence, the uplift that can sex up pharma services. That's the two digital platforms. And you'll see and hear lots of those in the coming weeks. But yeah, look, full steam ahead. We would be anticipating, we've guided the market, we do a substantial acquisition within 6 months of IPO. I think we're on month four at the moment, so let's see where that goes. But we're keenly aware that that hopefully is coming down the track. And more importantly, given that the management team, myself included, own 35% of Open Orphan, we're going to watch that share price really carefully. We're not going to issue shares willy-nilly, and we're not going to be throwing cash away. Whatever deal we do, we'll announce it when we do it, but it'll be definitely share price accretive and value-enhancing in the short term going forward.
Yeah, and I hate to mention it because it's mentioned everywhere, but how does, because of course you're pan-European, you're obviously helping other companies from around the world, you know, introduce them to Europe. How does Brexit figure in your plans? I mean, you know, does it upset that, or does it help it, or what?
No, actually, a good point. Speaking from Dublin, I think, look, we're completely Brexit-proofed. Our clients based out of Breda at the moment, the vast 95% of our revenue comes through either the Dutch office or the Paris office. So we're 95% European. Mm-hmm. However, we do have a small Belfast, which is our UK presence, and we're open for business in the UK. And I would be very optimistic, I think, guiding if our first acquisition is not in the UK, particularly in the sunny southeast, I'd be disappointed, because I think going forward, we need a nice UK footprint, because I think when it comes to pharma services, Brexit will come, Brexit will go, whatever the outcome will be. But pharma companies will want services across Europe, but also, very importantly, within mainland the UK as well. So I think we're Brexit-proofed.
Yeah. And before I ask you the three reasons, Cahill, is your ambition, is it still quite lofty as to where you want to take this company?
Yeah, look, I think till we get to 50 million market cap, we're not really a company on AIM and highly profitable, and then 100 million. So I think we'd be disappointed if we're not bouncing off 50 million market cap between Easter and June, and around the turn of next year, let's get ourselves to 100 million. So absolutely. But look, very clearly, you can get market caps like that and you blow share prices by just willy-nilly. We're going to do that properly. Brendan's last company, Icon, grew by acquisitions and grew organically, got its share price up 10x in 7 years, from 800 million to 8 billion, and got its market cap up 10x as well, from 800 million to 8 billion. So we were going to watch both market cap, but also share price accretion, i.e. increase the share price gently and steadily, week on week, month on month, going forward.
Marvellous stuff. Okay. In summary, three reasons. If someone's listening right now, likes the sound of what you're talking about, but are not yet following the story, give them those three reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please, Cahill.
Okay, just three reasons is we're totally focused on making money for our shareholders, but more importantly ourselves, because the three of us are 35% shareholders. So reason one, very much focused on the share price. Reason two, we're not falling in love. We've got a very strict limit on salaries across the group. Myself and Morris, our limit is 150,000. Nobody passes that. So it's cost-based, but is under control. And then the third reason falls into that. If we're not going to pay ourselves jumbo salaries, we are going to look for an exit. That includes all shareholders and ourselves. Once we stop consolidating, I am certain we'll be a nice consolidatable target. So that's the three reasons.
Marvellous stuff, Kyle. Good to chat to you. And like I say, more news, hopefully coming out very soon. So hopefully we'll catch up then. Thanks very much.
Absolutely, Justin. Let's watch that space. And thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Philip Hayden Slater, non-executive chairman of Riverfort Global Opportunities. That's RGO ticker. Philip, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, Justin. What can I tell you?
Well, listen, we're going to go through some news. But before we do, as always, people listening out there right now, and maybe they're not familiar with the company or they've heard you on once or twice before, but still don't get what you're about. Just give them a brief summary or expand, if you will, on what you know the company's all about, please, Philip.
Sure. Okay, so we are a small listed investment company. And as you probably know, we changed our investment approach last year. So rather than just having sort of passive equity investments, we're being much more proactive about how we make our investments in sort of small growth companies listed on the AIM Australian or Canadian market. And we have gone into a investment agreement with Riverfort Global Limited. So we have the right, but not the obligation, to co-invest in all their deals. And that has been incredibly profitable over the last 12 months, and looks like continuing to do so. Our third quarter sort of update, which came out on Friday, shows another 3% increase in NAV, which gives us another 9% for the year.
Yeah, well, let's step back a second, Philip, because before, previously, I know most investment companies or small cap investment companies, what they do, like you said, they take equity investments, basically, they invest in the shares of lots of companies. But you don't do that anymore. You provide what, some kind of funding arrangement for smaller cap companies, is that right?
Correct. So cash liquidity protection for them, for if they want to do some acquisition financing, project financing, we'll provide equity underwriting for financing, we'll do a royalty type financing for them, or give them some flexibility in terms of the timing for share placements, so effectively bridge funding. So what we're trying to do is make our capital work a lot harder and turn it over more quickly. And given Riverfort Limited's track record of a sort of 17% per annum growth in profits over the last 3 years, that's the sort of performance we want to mimic for our shareholders.
Yeah, and give us an example. For example, you've mentioned in your update, you've made investments in companies including Savannah Petroleum. In fact, I had those guys on last week. Anglo-African, Oil and Gas, UK Oil and Gas, also Infrastrata, Angus Energy, Ascent Resources. So how would a typical sort of funding arrangement go with those guys? How do it work?
Okay, so we typically do it all depending on the requirements into sort of a convertible loan note type arrangement. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the most common one. So we'd provide we would be paid a fee up front, then a fairly modest coupon in these days, somewhere between sort of 7 and 9%, and then also potentially some warrants or options for performance thereafter. So what we're looking to do is really protect our downside in terms of making these investments, but leave the upside sort of free to run, so that we can sort of maximize our return for shareholders. And this has, you know, proved to be pretty profitable and has worked. And we see that continuing. We see sort of good demand for our capital going forward, and the sort of deal pipeline looks pretty full.
Yeah, okay, well, take us through, you know, your quarterly update there, some of the highlights from that, if you could, then, Philip.
Sure. So one of the main things, I guess, to identify is the fact that we have an NAV of just over £7.5 million, but a market cap of just over £5 million. So our NAV is sitting at a 55% premium to the market capitalization of the company, which is a fairly extreme sort of premium given what we've done, what we've achieved. So we're looking to try and explain to the market, you know, what we're doing, so that discount effectively to the share price narrows. You know, we just, again, this quarterly update just sort of reemphasizes the kind of profitability that we're able to book.
Yeah. And you've got plenty of cash there to invest as well.
Yeah, we've committed currently five and a half million, and we've still got about $2 million to commit. What we like to do is try and turn that over fairly quickly and generate cash, which we have been doing. It's fairly exciting, actually, Justin, in terms of what we are looking to do and what we're trying to continue to do. And we see a great future for supporting the smaller listed growth companies on AIM in Australia and Canada.
Yeah, how do you market yourself? How do you get yourself out there? How do companies become aware of you?
Well, we rely on Riverford to do a lot of that marketing, and we will co-invest with them. But we also look separately at a fairly extensive network in terms of the current directors, in terms of companies that need funding. And one of the examples I saw last week was a company that did a placing to the market, and they took a 52% discount to the existing price. And that kind of dilution for shareholders is pretty horrific. So what we're looking to do is, you know, provide some stopgap or bridging funding, so they don't have to take those types of discounts in what can be a tough market.
Yeah, and why would it typically, because I get a lot of investors, almost shouting, I can see on social media companies doing that. And sometimes private investors are of the belief that it's down to the company themselves who sets the price. And it's not, is it? I mean, why does that kind of discount happen generally?
Yeah, half and half. I'd say that, if a company needs money, they need money. But this is what we're trying to do, is provide an alternative when the market's not providing the availability of capital. So, it gives the company much more flexibility in the timing of when they would do an issue. Therefore, we try and reduce dilution for existing shareholders, really.
Yeah, well, I've heard quite a few sort of CEOs on the podcast say the best time to raise money is when you don't need money.
Always the best time to borrow money from the bank is when you don't need it as well.
That's
what we're trying to do, is trying to provide that flexibility for companies where they can use our facilities for funding to time their own equity placements as and when the market is better suited to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's be honest. If you're desperate for operational cash, and you've got less than a month's worth of cash left, you have to do it. You have to take terms, don't you? Really?
And the market can see it, and they will mark your share price down. Yeah, exactly. Down accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And coming up, is it more of the same next 6-12 months?
Exactly. So we're looking to, again, continuing to improve and just do more of these kinds of deals. And again, really to let the market sort of know and kind of help them understand that these are steady, reliable and continuing types of deals that we're doing, which will provide profitability for RGO shareholders. And subject to the final results, we will look to pay a dividend, which again we hope will reduce the current discount to NAV.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, well, on the daily podcast, Philip, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. So to try and get on that list there, right now, give three reasons why someone listening should add Riverfort Global Opportunities to their watch list, please.
Can I give you four?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so we are a unique vehicle in terms of being the only listed company that people can invest in to get exposure to this kind of growth in a diversified alternative funding solution for smaller growth companies. We're trading at a massive discount to our stated NAV. We are looking to aggressively grow, or continue to aggressively grow, our earnings on a year-to-year basis. And lastly, we are hoping to pay a dividend, and that is the intention of the board, following the final results.
Excellent stuff. Philip, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Very good. Thanks.
Okay, it's time for a top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five in Spirit Energy Holdings. Yep, a big time last week, but down 41% a day. But I think it's overall, it didn't rise by over 100% last week. So yeah. At four, Tissue Regenics Group, down 3.9% to 1.225 pence. By the way, in Spirit is down 41% to 0.125. At three, Parity Group, a non-mover, at 9.125 pence. At two, Expediator. So a bit of a big rise last few sessions, but it's down today 3.85 cents to 37.5 pence. Number one most followed company is Westminster Group, up 15.74% to 12.5 pence. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Feedback PLC AGM Statement. At four, Feedback First Bleeper Pilot Study initiated with the NHS Trust. At three, Touchstone Exploration. Touchstone announces a CO1 gas test of 17.5 mmCFD. At two, of course, Open Orphan contract signed with Carla Bioscience. And number one, most likely on S, is Jan Gardner-Mines new target at Peter Menbedes Vanadium Project. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos. Appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand, and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.